Hey everyone, welcome to the Interview Expert Podcast. I'm your host, Owen Murray, a corporate and candidate interview coach, podcaster, and psychometric testing expert. Thanks to each and every one of you who come back to listen, learn, and grow. This podcast is where hiring managers from diverse backgrounds share their insights to support you on your interview journey. Join us as we explore tips, strategies, and real-world experiences to help you ace your next interview and land your dream job. And welcome to today's episode, Made Redundant, What's Next? I'm excited to have a special guest with me today, Leon Nussbaumer. Leon is an established content marketing manager, an entrepreneur, and he is also host to a very successful podcast called Leon and the Professionals. In this episode, Leon and I dive into navigating life after redundancy. We share practical insights and tips on how to approach this transitional phase with resilience and determination. Whether you're facing redundancy or supporting someone who is, stay tuned for valuable guidance on what steps to take next. Let's dive in. But before we get into it, I have one favor to ask you. The majority of people who watch and listen to this podcast have yet to hit the follow or subscribe button. I can't tell you how important this is. If you hit that follow or subscribe button, I promise I will get more guests that you want to see. And thank you for lending me your ears, whether you're walking, running, at the gym, walking the dog, whatever you're up to, thanks for listening to The Interview Expert. Leon, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm good, man. And you? Thanks for having me here.
Not I have to all. Learn how to... how are you? How's your week going?
Week is... Today is Wednesday. So I'm currently looking after my little one 4 days per week full time. And my partner is back home. And unfortunately, or fortunately, some say he only has crashed 3 days per week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So today is the start of my weekend, actually.
Very good. Yeah, that's great. I'm a bit like yourself, Leon. I have two kids. So, balancing kids with work can be challenging. How are you finding it? How do you find balancing sort of it's max, right? And and your work.
Well, I'm luckily out of the job market at the moment. I am looking after, and I have, you know, professional plans obviously that I need and have to work on. But honestly, the 4 days that I'm looking after him, it's just to look after him. I don't have much time to work or do anything else, because, you know, we have to keep them busy, entertain, and, you know, make cognitively challenging as well. So it's all about him, the chores of the house, and, you know, just trying to stop him from, you know, crying and having tantrums. It happens mostly outside, so I'm often outside if the weather allows. So there is no balance, you know. When I'm with him, I'm with him, and then I have 2 or 3 days to focus on me and my professional stuff and my health, if I want to go to the gym or things like that. That's how life is at the moment. It's not very balanced, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, I have two kids, 3 and 5, and it's new enough for me, and I still find it challenging to balance both, right? But it's all good fun, Leon. It's great to be a dad.
I love it.
So it's good to meet someone like yourself who sort of has a kid as well. So you can empathize with the lack of sleep maybe that the two of us have had over the last couple of years.
Now I understand why people put that they are parents on their LinkedIn profiles, because they need to make people understand that I'm not sleeping and I might be late.
Absolutely, it shows a bit of personality, I think, as well. And there's a lot of people out there with kids, it's hard to balance sometimes. So there's a bit of empathy there, I think, right?
100%.
Leon, it would be great for our listeners just to get to know you a little bit more. Can you tell me your story?
Oh, wow. My story. I'll try to do that as quick as I can. So Leon, originally from Brazil. I have been living in Ireland for the past 14 years. Came here to learn English and go back to Brazil to try to apply to jobs in multinationals, and I didn't have English at the time, but I loved here and decided to stay. And it was the place where I kind of found a career trajectory, but also mm-hmm. got to know my wife and started to build a family now. So, you know, absolutely love the place and the people here. And within that journey of being 14 years here, I was on a path to try to find out what I was going to do professionally. I have a law degree back home. I was a tax lawyer, but it wasn't something that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I worked for a couple of years in the service industry, as you do when you are doing, you know, exchanging programs and you want to go back to your country just to make money. But then when I decided that I was going to stay here, I needed to find what kind of path I was going to follow, professional path or corporate path, because it was something that I wanted for me, right? So because I was good with people, I always loved dealing with people, positive attitude, energy, and etc., I decided to do HR-related courses and to join the world of the corporate world in the human resources field. So that's what I did. I started and actually made a transition into a human resource role in one of the restaurants that I was working in, because the restaurant grew and scaled so quickly that it became from a 20 people organization to a, like 400 plus people organization. So they needed a HR person there. And the story there is quite interesting, because I actually pitched my role to the head of HR of that restaurant, and they didn't have that role, but we created that role for me to join their organization. So it was quite nice to see that happening. And then from there, it was HR admin. Then I joined LinkedIn in a recruitment position. Then I left LinkedIn and joined HubSpot as in a recruitment position. And then while I was a recruiter, I rediscovered my passion for content creation and storytelling. And it was when I made a decision to either work with marketing, content, communication, any job related to that field and that skill. And then it was at HubSpot when I got the invite from LinkedIn to be back to work in an employer branding or recruitment marketing role, creating content and promoting LinkedIn employer brand. And that's what I did for the past 2 years until I was let go or laid off last November. So that's a little bit about me.
Great. Thank you for kind of going through that. And Leon, I'm not surprised you sort of wanted to get into the sort of people business, which is HR, right? Because anyone from meeting you and me knowing you for a number of years, you've got a great energy, you know, you're always a very positive person when we meet. I've really noticed that about you. So I'm not surprised you have gone into the career that you have gone into. You mentioned sort of redundancy there, right? And I suppose that's a word on some of our listeners' lips now and previously, right? And I'd like to share with you and our listeners about my experience of redundancy, okay? So I've been made redundant 3 times in my career. I think during those times, it put me through a lot of stress and anxiety, you know, affected not just me, but, you know, my family and my personal life as well. One of the many reasons I set up yourheart.ie was to avoid that again, right, and not put myself through a situation like that. And I think when it happened the first time, you know, you immediately question whether you're good at what you do and why you've been made redundant, okay? And unfortunately, the 3 times that I was made redundant were through no fault of my own. But specifically, I was made redundant from one business during the second lockdown due to a strategic pause in hiring. My wife was pregnant at the time. Obviously, there was a lot of anxiety going around about COVID as well at that point. And I was back out in the job market in the middle of a pandemic. So to say I was anxious was an understatement, right? And I think why I'm telling you this is that having been through that, I have learned so much about myself and how important it is to be resilient, right? I suppose the third time it happened, I kind of was laughing about it because like this is absolutely, you know, bad things happen in threes. It happens, right? That's what happens. Good thing happens in threes, bad things happen in threes. So it can never happen to me again now, the fact that it's happened to me three times. I suppose just to sort of go back on my point there, that when it does happen, it is absolutely nothing to do with how good you are at your role, right? And I would say that to any listener out there, and to yourself that has been made redundant, that it is just one of those decisions made at the top of the chain. And what I would say to companies out there that go through these strategic pauses, there is a duty of care for them to, go through the consultation period in the right way. And don't forget that you are dealing with humans during that consultation period. And there's a lot of anxiety. And to any manager out there that has to do something like this, my advice would be is to spend the time with your team, you know, listen to them and try to support them as much as possible. And in fairness, the companies that I was made redundant from had that support network. And actually, one thing I found quite useful was when I was out on the job market, me along with a lot of other people, I buddied up with someone in the business that was also looking for a similar role. And that really helped me, the two of us supported each other throughout that process. And we had open conversations about how we're feeling, and we would send each other roles. And, it was a great support network to have during that pretty tough period. It's not the end of the world. If it happens, I believe, and it's a bit of a cliche, but once one door closes, another opens. And try to look at the positive sort of things that have happened to you in your career, the experience you do have now, and that you can bring on to your next business. But that was me and my redundancy story. But I'd love to hear sort of, you know, how you have sort of navigated it, Leon, because I know it's happened quite recently to you. And I don't know if you can relate to anything I said there, but yeah, it would be great to hear your sort of your story about it.
Yeah, I love that idea of buddying up with someone that is looking for similar roles. That's a good one. I'm going to take note and pass that advice forward. So the first time that I saw... not that I went through, but that I saw redundancies happen was in 2020, right? Up until then, I was, you know, in love with the company that I was working for. It was a great organization, doing everything and anything for you as an employee, as long as you did your job, right? So when the redundancy happened back then, it kind of took me by surprise, the fact that it was happening, because the business was still, you know, doing well enough. Anyone would die to have a business performing the way that they were. And then also because of the caliber of the people that I saw being let go, I was a new recruiter, probably maybe just over a year of experience. And I saw, you know, great people going. And then with also the help and mentorship of my manager at the time, you know, I got to realize that, listen, this can end at any point in time. And it was back then that I took the decision of, okay, so I need to have something. If this happens, what will I have in my hands, and what can I work with? And that's why I decided to take the ownership of my personal brand. And that's where the journey started. And then the results of it would be, you know, if you look on to my LinkedIn profile, even though I'm not super active at the moment because of everything that is happening, but you know, the content that I create, the podcast that I do, the fact that I'm being invited, and I'm constantly invited to be part of different shows and podcasts such as this one, these always started with that seed in 2020. And with the fact that I was kind of preparing myself, you know, if the ship turns, I have to be ready for that. But, you know, the thing is, you never are. So from there, I probably saw two or three more redundancies happen in the business that I was working, mm-hmm. and saw people going. And there is a great level of guilt when you stay, especially when you see people that are great professionals going as well. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, it's great to stay. And then when it happens to you, it's tough. It's tough to digest.
Yeah,
the element of that has nothing to do with your performance. I had that digested as well because I saw great people going. I was like, okay, this is just a business decision. In the end of the day, you become mm-hmm. a number when things turn sour. But I agree with you. I think companies can do and should go out of the way to look after the employees when they are making them redundant, right? And I'm not sure if I saw that happening a lot. I saw support happening, but I don't know. I think across the board, especially the tech industry, from other people sharing and saying, I think things could have been managed a little bit better to ease the burden of being made redundant. Usually that's associated with, you know, great package, and it's not that, you know, you're going to go into poverty. And so that's great, especially if you're a father or a mother.
Yeah.
You want to look after your family. Mm-hmm. But I think things start to, you start to worry about things when you are, so me, for example, November, December, January, February, right? So November, December, January, February. I'm 3 months in. So time goes pretty fast. And suddenly we are 3 months in out of the job market. And then I look at other colleagues that were made redundant the last time, and they are 1 year out of the job market. And then I look at colleagues that were made redundant maybe, you know, 1 year and a half ago, and they're still out of the job market. So looking at that, you start to worry, you know, when is going to be my time? When I will get a job? And it's all, everything is super uncertain. There is a podcaster that I listen to, and a professor of marketing of the University of New York. Maybe you know him, Scott Galloway. And I love he's quite harsh on his professional approach. And he says, nobody owns you a living. No company owns you nothing. Don't walk and behave yourself in this world as they do. Always prepare for the worst. And that's what I'm, you know, bringing with me. And that's the advice that I try to share and pass forward. Because sometimes you are there in the thick of it and giving all of your sweat drops to leave that company mission, thinking that they owe you something in return. But in fact, actually they don't, unless you are a shareholder. So that's what I try to one of the things that I try to live by. But nevertheless, being out of the job market and having a no source of income coming through the bank, it's worrying. And the more the time passes, the more worried and anxious you feel. When is going to be my time? And then you start seeing people coming back to the job market and getting new jobs. And, you know, it's unavoidable to compare yourself and be like, oh my God, they just got a new job. Oh, that's great. Oh yeah, person X just got a new job. And suddenly you are worrying, when is it going to be my time? Is my guy going to come? And then maybe sometimes you're going to have interviews as well, you know, like I did. And then you're going to fail and going to be rejected. So then putting everything into a bucket, you need a lot of support to manage that mentally for sure. Because 100, the redundancy itself, I was okay with it. But then the pause redundancy, that's what took a toll on my, you know, even my self-confidence. And self-belief. So, and you need support. You need people saying that you're great. Even the quick interaction that we had at the start, you see that I have good and great energy, connecting with people, connecting with industry colleagues, to remind, you know, all the great things that you achieve, the profession that you are, so you're able to move forward. But it's hard.
It is. And I like that... I like the sound of Scott Galloway, right? We'll have to put his link in underneath this podcast for our listeners. But, you know, there's something in that there that I noticed, Leon, that, you know, it's important to remember when you are out in the job market, it is about number one. and it's about you getting a job. And I think, you know, when you see job updates on LinkedIn, as you mentioned, and maybe ex-colleagues that have gotten roles, it's hard to be, you know, it's human nature to kind of be like, oh, look, that person's got a job. Why haven't I found one? So unfortunately, sometimes the jobs, the stars have to align. You know, there's an element of luck there as well. But try not to let it affect your self-confidence, because we talked about this in previous podcasts, but, you know, that lack of confidence then is brought into interview, and, you know, the interviewer is picking up on that, unfortunately.
Yes, 100%.
Exactly. And it's hard for that interviewer to empathize with someone who's been out in the job market for a long time. They just want someone to come in and do the job for them, right? But it takes its toll, absolutely. And that's why mental health, and, you know, it gets a lot of airtime these days, which is brilliant. It's about, you know, spending time with, you know, Max and everyone spending time with their family, making sure you're getting out for walks, not chained to the computer, scanning the internet for jobs constantly. It can be very tempting. But I always say sort of 2 hours per day. You don't want to be doing more than that. I think you start to get a little frantic and anxious if you're doing more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For sure. So with our lovely Irish weather, though, sometimes that doesn't help. you know, I would say as well that to make sure that you're capitalizing on the times of year. So I would say, you know, February to April, May time is probably an optimum time to be looking. It's when companies are implementing their headcount. Summer is quite quiet. People are on holidays. And then September tends to be a good time as well, September, October, and then the market kind of dies November, December. So for anyone out there looking, that's the time to be focused and laser focused, I would say. Thank you for sharing that, Leon. I can empathize with a lot of those things that you said. It's just about reminding yourself that it's not about you and how you've performed in your job. Try and keep that front of mind. Leon, what is the worst advice you ever got?
Oh, God. I'm going to find hard to answer that one as a conflict avoidant person. The worst advice. My God, I'm going to need a few seconds. You know, let me see if I remember, but the worst situation that I got advice from was when I was, when I knew that I was going to be made redundant, right? And I had a, you know, particular individual. It's a very hard situation when someone's going through that, right? And then you want to offer your shoulder as a way of support, but also you don't want to be too intrusive. You want to give them their space, but also they might be feeling quite isolated. So I think it's very complex to navigate redundancy as a team, and it's quite hard to get it right. And you need, I think, great leadership to do so. But, you know, when I knew that I was going to be made redundant, I can't remember what was said, but there was this particular individual that came to me and just told me to look at a company, at a weird job board, that they were hiring people for XYZ. And it was something completely out of what I was looking for, completely out of what I wanted, just because maybe that person saw a skill set that would, you know, merge with the skill set that they were looking for. And, you know, just showed, I think, even though it came from probably their heart, maybe lack of listening skills or lack of being like, what's your plan, Leo? What are you going to do? What are the things that you're going to look for in the future? Oh, yeah, I know about that opportunity. But no, that person went straight away into showing something that I always felt diminished, but it was something that was zero related to what I wanted to do. And I just remember looking and be like, oh, yeah, sure. I look it up. I didn't say anything at the time. But obviously the person was trying to help, was trying to get me to the job market as fast as I could. But I think there was a little bit of lack of empathy and understanding of, you know, where was I on my journey, how that person could help me then, knowing that information. That's what I can remember. I'm trying to remember what was suggested, but I think it was so completely out of my world that I, you know, the trauma of it erased it from my brain.
Yeah, yeah. I can relate to that. Like, through the three times that I've been made redundant, like, there were people, not really in my team, but I would know maybe as stakeholders, and they're sending me these random jobs, you know, with the salary that's 20 or 30K below my expectations. And that doesn't help, right? It's almost like at the time I was in such bad form, and you know, it affected me mentally so much that I felt it was like a slap in the face a little bit. There was no thought put into it, you know, and they certainly didn't listen to me about the roles that I was looking for, because I had a previous conversation with this person, you know, and they knew exactly what I was looking for. There was a bit of that, right? And that kind of, you mentioned, that kind of sparked off a memory that I had as well of, not in the companies that I was in, but when it happens, when these companies go through these strategic pauses and they let go, you know, a large number of staff, there was a lot of updates on LinkedIn, you know, mentioning people that have been made redundant and saying, oh, I'm opening you up to my network. I think it was just a tsunami of people putting that update up. And the more it got put up, the less genuine it felt. And I'm not too sure how effective it was putting up a post to say that you're open to someone's network, right? I think that was one thing that I did not enjoy, and it kept happening over and over again. I don't know if you've experienced anything similar to that, but it wasn't very genuine.
Yeah, I saw them. I saw people challenging those posts as well. The social media thing is hard to navigate, right? It's newish. You don't know what you can say, what you're trying to say. Obviously they came from a good place, but if you think about, you know, a smart goal was very generic, right? It wasn't specific. Mm-hmm. In general, they weren't specific. They, you know, they probably got very little reach out. And some people are virtual signaling. I'm sure that there is a bit of that as well. But it's hard to look at a post like that and say, I'm going to reach out to that person. Or, unless that person is, you know, someone of an organization they admire or is in a position they want to be in. Mm-hmm. But I think if you are to do that, be as specific as you can. You know, I would love to help recruiters that were made redundant because of my experience in the market. So please, you know, reach out to me and let's review your CV together. Okay, great. My network is your network. And then you have 10,000 people in your network. You'd be like, oh, I get the intention, but
yeah,
it's generic. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I think it's just the more it happened. If it helped someone, if it helped one person, I suppose it's worth it, right? It just happened
100%.
From a job interview perspective, someone who has a lot of experience in recruitment and has, you know, hired, I'm sure, a lot of people over your career. From a job interview perspective, what resources do you recommend?
Well, depending on the stage that you are in. So if you are applying for a job and you didn't have contact with the hiring team yet, careers page, company careers page on LinkedIn, people that work on that organization, leaders that work on the team that you want to join, or people that work on the team that you want to join, and then any interview to preparation that will help you with the with answering questions. So ChatGPT is a great one if you know how to use and you probe it the right way. But there are also tools, I think, on LinkedIn that help you interview, you answer questions, and then it gives you feedback on that. And then with all of that, the most important is preparation, because I think one of your guests said that on your previous episodes, but interviewing skill is oftentimes a skill completely different to the skills that you're going to apply in your job, but you still have to develop and you still have to do well. So you need to work on it.
Yeah, it's true. There are so many good candidates out there that haven't interviewed in a very long time because they've been, you know, a good employee and they've stayed with their business for a long time, but they just don't have the interview skills. So it's unfortunate because when they interview then and, you know, the interviewer can only make a decision on how they perform in that interview, right? They unfortunately don't get hired, even though they're probably the perfect person for the role.
I have something to say about that, you know, because I think the interview has many stages. That's for a reason. And it's only to their hiring manager, hiring team loss if they don't understand to and how to identify potential and then look at the whole context of that person application process, right? So I talk a little bit of a story of my wife that she was made redundant after coming back from maternity leave. So 1 year out of work, came back, was made redundant, and then was out of work for another 6 months. And then she, the organization that she joined on the interaction with the recruiter, I think, or maybe with the hiring manager. So she spoke to the recruiter passed on to the hiring manager, and on the hiring manager phone screen, if she was doing that interview in any other organization or most of the organizations, she would be rejected. But the hiring manager came back to give the feedback to the recruiter, and the recruiter told her, listen, you know, we understand where you're coming from. We can see your potential and your passion and everything, but your confidence is down. Your confidence is down, and we identify that. And that will serve you, won't serve you for the role, the job, or the interview process. So you're going to pass it to the next stage. You get your stuff together. And then you know, try to present a different, you know, version and a best version of yourself.
Okay. That's, yeah, interesting. So they kind of gave her, they felt she was the right candidate, but her confidence was down in the interview. But they kind of gave her another chance to bring her authentic self to the next interview.
She prepared, over-prepared, and then, you know, she got the job. It was a career transition, probably competing with folks that were more experienced and had a lot of experience in the role during the redundancy situation that we were living in. But, you know, we are humans. It's hard. And you get someone in that way, the person is going to work probably 10 times or X times harder than the person that joins, you know, on the confident route. I know who I am. I know what I can deliver. So it's rare, maybe 1%, 0.0001%. But I see it happening. So yeah, I'm hopeful.
It's great to hear something like that, Leon, like because companies don't, you know, usually do something like that, right? And what I really think there is what they're doing is they're creating a great candidate experience as well, right? You know, your wife obviously went down and got the role, and I'm sure she, you know, thought about what they did for her there, you know, during the process, which can only be a good thing because those things get passed on, and there's good word of mouth about that particular company creating a good candidate experience. And that's how you hire the best talent. You create the best candidate experience versus your competitors. Have you listened or read anything recently that's inspired you, Leon?
Oh my God, I read and listen to so Many things. You know, and that's a cheesy one, but I only got to, you know, Tony Robbins, right?
Yes, Bruce, yeah, I
He,
follow him on LinkedIn.
he's been around, I don't know, doing his thing for the past 50 years or so. But, you know, we have this new great medium that we are utilizing today called podcasting, which, you know, when they talk to someone famous, it allows us to deep dive into the life of that person and hear and see what they have to say. And he was just sharing a little bit about, you know, his story of having a brain tumor and with, oh, sorry, just the delivery guy.
Don't
And have,
worry, don't worry.
no, he's gonna leave it in, he's gonna leave it in the bin. So his
Okay.
story of, you know, having a brain tumor, that brain tumor giving him elephantism, and that's why he's so big, because he was overproducing growth hormone and then making the decision of leaving the tumor inside his brain, because it was basically what was allowing him to have his energy and recovery so fast to be able to give those, you know, 12-hour seminars for the entire week. And it was just, obviously he's a great speaker. He has a lot of energy and everything, but I think it was a great, it was very inspiring story of, you know, not only overcoming something, it is a disease, right? But actually, and he was able to do so, but having the ability to leave it there, live with it, scanning every 3 or 4 months or whatever he has to do it, because that allow him to be the best version of himself. I think it was very very inspiring to get that snippet of his life and something and a challenge that he went through, and he probably goes through still with that thing in his head, but he still is able to make it work now with all the money in the world, of course, which it makes it easier, right? Yeah, I think that what came to mind without thinking, without filtering myself, but if that was bad, you can edit it out.
He's a great example, and I think, like, if you watch him on videos, you've never been introduced to him before, you don't know nothing about him, he comes across as an extremely confident guy, right? But I think from the story you just explained there, it just shows you how someone like that can be so vulnerable when something like that happens to them. And I think, like, overall, what we've talked about here, there's been a sort of common theme of redundancy, but it really puts redundancy into perspective when you hear something like the story you just described about him, and really kind of lets us think about how important your health is versus something like redundancy that you will get through and you'll get another job. It's only a matter of time. So I think it really puts it into perspective, right?
I actually have another one. Sorry, I know that we might be, you know, crossing over the your, you know, 30, 45 minute mark,
That's
but
okay, yeah. No, go ahead.
I love and I'm passionate about content creation, specifically video content creation. So as a consumer, I spend more time on, you know, visual platforms like YouTube or Instagram and video than LinkedIn itself. LinkedIn is still very, you know, text heavy. I'm there. I leverage, but I prefer to spend time in other platforms. And there is these creators that I follow, and I actually want to follow a little bit the business model, because they realize that they are not good creators, but they are good on empowering creators to be better creators, right? And one of them, they're called Colin and Samir. One of them has a business coach, and he was talking to his business coach about some insecurities of his life and insecurities about maybe taking big leaps or being situations that he felt that he has no base underneath him. And I love what the business coach told him. Obviously, it was specific to him and specific to anyone that maybe has a little bit of experience in the market and a network and everything. But his business coach said, listen, when you are in the situations of fear, maybe you're doubting yourself, you don't believe that you're going to get the next thing or next deal or next job, you are defaulting to your old self. You've been in this life and in this professional life for years, years and years, 10, 15, 20 years, right? So you are a very wealthy person when it comes to skills, knowledge, and network. And you have to trust that when you make those decisions. You're never going to start from zero. When you default to that fear mode, you are being that individual that started in the job market or in that position or as a creator 15 years ago. You had nothing, you knew nothing, and you were starting from zero. You're never going to be that person again. It takes some time to change and to adapt to the new version of yourself, but just remember where you are, what got you here. And if you are in a situation where it doesn't look that things are going to go right or deals are not going to close, just trust that, you know, something will work out of it, because in that sense, you are wealthy. And I was like, whoa, I think that, you know, gave me a sense of calmness, because I could look back and say, wow, I do have a lot of stuff that I have been building until now. So now it's time to leverage those and put them to work.
Absolutely. It's not all about how much money you have, right, as well. You're wealthy in other perspectives as well. And that's, I really, really like that. What is your top tip, Leon, for anyone in the interview market, job market at the moment, I should say?
So the word anyone makes it challenging. As a marketeer, anyone makes it challenging. But be more specific. So with, I want to say, maybe let's speak to folks that were made redundant, right? Because I think that's a position that I'm in at the moment and a shoe that I can feel. I think my top tip, is it for interviewing, you said? Interviewing.
Yeah, for anyone got on the job market at the moment, whether it be, you know, the interview itself or searching for a job.
So I would structure my way back to the job market and do a roadmap or a business plan. Obviously, some people have to go back tomorrow and they have to apply to whatever role they have to. But if you have time, if it's a week, if it's 4 weeks, if it's 6 months, build a plan to go back or a structure, meaning that understand what are the organizations that you want to work for and make a top 10, top 20 list. Then out of those organizations, what teams do you want to join? You know, do you have that clear? I oftentimes didn't have that clear in my life, so it was always hard to some extent, but do you have that clear? Then who are the business leaders? Who are the individuals? And try and leverage LinkedIn to build that network of like-minded professionals, professionals in the same industry, and professionals in the companies that you work for. Strengthening your network. So then when an opportunity arises, you're ready to take it, you're ready to ask for a referral, you're ready to be referred. Then within that plan as well, I would 100% add being active on LinkedIn. And it doesn't necessarily should involve creating content, which is something a little bit harder to do, but definitely active on other individuals' content. So adding always industry focus, right? So let's say I'm a lawyer, I want to go back to the legal world. Who are the top creators in the legal world? What are they saying? And how I can add value to that conversation? Just that's going to elevate your profile, you know, 10x. And then if you have time and if you have the ability, if you have the courage, if you're okay with judgments, you can put yourself out there creating content on LinkedIn as well. But again, at least 80% focus on the industry that you want to go back to. The plan can be a little bit more robust, but there will be some of the things that I'll be focusing on and that one should focus on 100%.
Yeah, it's kind of about being visible, right, as much as possible. And you just never know where that like or that comment will get you and who will see that. And I say that to my clients all the time. You will be surprised how many people actually read these comments and read the content or watch the content, especially when you're sort of immediately available for work. Some great tips there. Leon, where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, Just one last thing. LinkedIn has this new LinkedIn top voice for, you know, what do they call it? Yeah. Micro top voice. So if you have time to engage with those AI articles and get a badge of being a top voice in your specific mm-hmm. industry, I would say do so, because at the moment, seems that everyone is getting it, one day they will close that tap. So make use of it. If people want to find out about me, look for Leon Nussbaumer on LinkedIn, or Leon and the Professionals on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That's where I speak to professionals that are helping the world be a better place. And yeah, let's talk about careers. Let's talk about content creation. Let's talk about anything and everything.
Fantastic, Leon. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you so much for your time. And I will add all those links in at the bottom of the podcast. But thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Peace. Oh, balloons. Damn. Okay.
Balloons just went off in the background for our listeners there. I'll end on that. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening to The Interview Expert. Make sure to check out our website, yourhire.ie, where you can subscribe to the show and also find out more interview tips and tricks. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating wherever you get your podcasts. Or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Owen Murray is available for private coaching. See our website for details at yourhire.ie. Until next time, do good, feel good, and be good.